Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a story about a man who was once trying to cross the street. However, when he stepped off the curb, he notices a car screaming around the corner, heading right at him, and so he jumps out of the way. The man walks a little faster, trying to cross the street, but the car changes lanes and is still coming right at him. So he turns around and goes back, and yet again, the car changes lanes and comes right at him. Finally, he freezes right where he is in the middle of the road. And the car comes right towards him and barely misses hitting him and pulls upside to him, and the driver rolls down the window. And behold, it is a squirrel driving the car. And the squirrel says to the man, "See, it's not as easy as it looks, is it?" Well, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes life isn't easy. In fact, it's very difficult, and especially nowadays. We might feel like a squirrel trying to cross a busy street. It seems like there is nowhere left to turn. Some of you have already been through such times and are experiencing difficulty now. The last few months have been especially challenging for various reasons: health-related, economic, relationally, socially, culturally, and racially. Months into this pandemic, we seem to be experiencing extraordinary unrest, which is causing us to ask important questions about what our future looks like together. Things appear to be pretty bleak. Well, I want to give you a bit of good news today. You see, Christianity is a faith of good news, if it is nothing at all. In our lesson today from Romans chapter 5, Paul gives us a clue on how we can have peace in the midst of conflict and hope in the midst of despair. He starts off in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5 saying, "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God." One of the outcomes of establishing a relationship with the Lord is that we get to experience peace. This means, first of all, that the hostility, the enmity that exists between man and God, humanity and God, has been erased. And by peace, Paul not only has in mind this hostility which has been erased and taken away, but he also has in mind our well-being, a larger, more comprehensive picture of peace, our flourishing, of being in harmony with one another. In the Old Testament, the term was known as shalom, which has in mind not only our personal well-being, but the well-being of others, our relationship, and our community as well. This is the type of peace that Jesus offers to us. And it isn't just a pie-in-the-sky kind of peace, but it's the kind of peace that steadies us in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of storms. This is the kind of peace that sustains us, the kind of peace you want when it seems like the world is spiraling out of control. This is the kind of peace that Christians have always known during difficult times, the kind of peace that sustains them when it appears that things are progressively getting worse and worse. It's the kind of peace that we sing about in that well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," which reads, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Those of us who have been reconciled with God now enjoy this type of peace. As we look out to our culture and what's happening in our world today, we see that there are many noble attempts in our culture to try to make peace, to try to establish peace. And we should applaud those efforts. Christianity does not have a monopoly on peacemaking. That said, from a biblical perspective, true, comprehensive, lasting peace begins with our making peace with the one with whom we have offended first and foremost, and that as our Maker, our Lord, and God. And the scripture is clear that this happens only one way. In verse 1, Paul writes, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand." Jesus, of course, accomplishes this peace for us through his sacrificial, wrath-averting, and atoning death on the cross. In verse 6, Paul writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for us, the ungodly." And in verse 8, he goes on to say, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The hostility that existed between God and sinners, between God and humanity, has been removed, erased, pacified on the account of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that a positive relationship with our Creator has been established because of what Jesus has done. And I think it's important for us to remember that our primary relationship, the most important relationship that we will ever have, is the one that we have with God. A right relationship with God empowers us to establish peace with one another. It empowers us by the Spirit to establish harmony and shalom in our communities. The vertical peace that we experience with God by virtue of the work of Jesus translates into a horizontal peace that we can enjoy with one another. This is the basis for all human relationships. Without it, human communities can never flourish. Well, not only does our relationship with Christ lead us to peace, but it also leads to hope. And that's the next thing that we see, hope. Sadly, though, we live in a world that seems to have lost a deep-rooted sense of hope. The New Testament writer, Michael Byrd, writes, "The most basic of ambitions, the sweetest of dreams, the most cherished thoughts of men and women across the whole globe so often find themselves laid bare and busted by the cruel realities of the world around them. Death becomes the final destroyer of all hope as it ends all chances of life and happiness beyond the vestiges of its dark grip." But you know, Christians have a different perspective, don't we? And the gospel calls us to swim against this tide on all accounts. And this means that we are to be a people not only of faith, but a people of hope. The Christian, like Abraham, is called again and again to hope against hope. Hope is a key characteristic of Christianity. It's a sort of bright optimism in which we trust that one day there will be a better future. Desmond Tutu, the anti-apartheid South African bishop, said that hope is being able to see that there is light in spite of all the darkness. And this is why St. Paul can say in Romans 12, Christians are to be joyful in hope, even amidst affliction. And we can hope because we are sustained by something deep and powerful that grows out of a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who sustains us and empowers us and who is with us every step of the way. The scriptures provide us with an optimistic, hopeful vision of the future and challenges us to look beyond the frustration, the despair that we might experience if we do something radical like watch the evening news. or scroll through our Facebook feed. No, the scriptures point us to a greater reality, to the sublime shores of the new heavens and the new earth, that heavenly vision in which peace and shalom are experienced. We get a beautiful picture of this reality of new heavens and new earth in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 7, John describes it this way. He looks up, and there before him was a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God. It's an image of people from every socioeconomic background, every nation, every race, and every culture, united together in peace. Or one of my favorite articulations of this comes from one of my favorite translations of the Bible, the Children's Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible. And in the last page, or one of the last pages towards the end, we read these words. And the king says, "Look, God and his children are together again. No more running away or hiding, no more crying or being lonely or afraid, no more being sick or dying, because all those things are gone. Yes, they are gone forever. Everything sad has come untrue. And see, I have wiped away every tear from every eye." And then in a deep, beautiful voice that sounded like thunder, the Lord says, "Look, I am making everything new." This is the reality that awaits each of us who by faith live in hope of a better future. And this hope and this reality is all made possible because one day, 2,000 years ago, hope appeared to us in the form of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who reconciled the world to himself and who brings peace and provides hope for a better future. Amen.